KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We are listener-supported radio, and usually we have so many guests in our Pearl Street studios. This time we got a guest on the phone. It is Brian from the neighborhood. Where in the world are you calling in from today, my friend?
You're catching me at one of the very few times within the past 2 years that I'm at home in my backyard.
No kidding. So it's been 2 years. It's been a grueling tour schedule, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, a lot of times we're home for a couple days, a week. I think the longest we were ever home was for like 3 weeks, but we were doing stuff during that 3 weeks anyway. Like I leave in a, we have two more shows for this tour, Santa Ana and Ventura, which is why I get to be at home right now.
Sure.
And then a couple days after that, we leave for like another week, and then we're home for a couple days, and we leave for another 2 weeks, and
crazy, man, but what a blessing it must be to be able to tour the country and tour the world playing your music again. Brian from the neighborhood is on the line on listener-supported KX93.5. I don't know if you remember, man, but I did talk to you about a week or two before the release of your debut full-length, and you guys just got off the stage at Coachella. I understand you guys all shaved your heads.
It was loud, but I was in the little dressing room area. And I tried to get away from the noise, I remember.
Yeah, do you? Well, cool, man. Since then, I imagine it's been a whirlwind of events. I think I told you before, we had been hearing a couple singles out of you guys for weeks and weeks, if not months, leading up to the release of the major label debut. And now it's available right now. It's the biggest thing in the alternative world for the most part. And so congratulations on your success. And did you ever think you'd be able to make a living doing what you do, playing music for people?
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, that's always the goal, you know? I mean, it would be presumptuous of me to have thought that, you know, I would have garnered as much success as I have, or as we have. But that's what you work towards, you know? I just was talking to an old friend on Facebook, which I'm never usually on, but I'm home right now, so I check up, and an old friend, and he was telling me, and I never really realized it, he was like, if anybody deserved it, he only knows me, but this goes for all the guys in the band. He goes, it was you. I mean, you worked at it even after people in our hometown gave up, you know? I mean, we've all been in bands for so long. I know me and Jesse have been in bands for like 10 years, and we've done so many things that have failed.
Yeah.
That it discourages most people, you know? But for us, I think it kind of lit a fire under our ass to keep working at it and keep trying harder and harder. So I think deep down, we knew that we had something, which is why we kept at it. You know what I mean? But
sure.
But yeah, I mean, to think, you know, where we are right now, I mean, I could have never, I always hoped for it, and I always worked for it, but I never, you know, necessarily thought it was 100% going to happen.
Well, it seems like the Neighborhood Project happened rather quickly for you guys. I mean, you guys started putting out EPs relatively recently, right? The I'm Sorry and Thank You, and I
yeah,
Love
actually,
You is your...
This,
yeah.
This February, 2 years ago this February, we put out our first song.
Crazy, totally self-released as an independent outfit, right?
What was that? Sorry.
Totally self-released. I mean, there was no record label on board when you guys were first starting out. Who took notice first, and were you guys able to pick and choose what record label you guys wanted to be affiliated with?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think it goes to show that the first people who were onto us were Columbia Records, who we ended up signing with. I was actually still in school in New Orleans when we put out that song, because I was going to finish up. I was in my last year. Ended up dropping out with 3 weeks left my last year of college. But, yeah, they were the first people to kind of be on board, and we went and we met with them, and we met with other people as well afterwards, but
yeah.
I think we all kind of, we just felt it. It was because it's like bringing somebody into your family, you know what I mean? It's like accepting people into your life for a long time.
Sure.
We loved everybody that we met, and everybody there has supported our, you know, artistic vision with everything that we've done. You know, we're some of the guys from the label were at the Palladium show last night, and we talked with them, and it's like we're in this together. We're a unit, you know, and I think that that's why we went with them, because it's not, you know, just some dudes who work at a record label. They're legitimately our friends.
Sure. It feels like family, huh?
You know what I mean? Yeah, and that's important to us, because we do everything in-house. Everybody on our crew, from our lighting guy to our tour manager to our merch guy to the guys who do our videos, all are people that we grew up with.
All right,
that
no
when we
kidding.
got
So
the opportunity to do this.
you got a
We
traveling
brought a lot of
circus, a traveling circus of people that you already knew in the past. You guys doing the van thing, or are you fortunate enough to have a tour bus?
Well, it's funny enough you said a circus of people. That's what our tour is called. It's called the circus.
Oh, no kidding.
Did you know
I
that?
had no idea, man. See?
That's
I'm
crazy.
right
Yeah,
there
our
with
tour right
you.
now is called the circus. Yeah. This is our first tour with a bus. Yeah. So we have 12 people in our crew,
So
and
cool.
then we brought along Ghost Loft and Love Life, who are also really good friends of ours. I mean, we met Love Life when we were recording our debut album in New York,
Yeah.
and those guys have grown to be some of my best friends in the entire world. So
Again.
it's legitimately a tour of all friends. It really is. It's like traveling entertainment. That's why they called it the circus, you know?
So I guess if it's a grueling tour schedule going just about everywhere around the country, you might as well surround yourself with people who you're comfortable with. Again, the debut record from The Neighborhood, the debut full length, major label debut is available right now. Brian from The Neighborhood is on the phone. Looks like you guys are playing the Observatory in Santa Ana tomorrow, which is, to me, it's a surprising venue, believe it or not. So all of a sudden, Orange County is becoming relevant. Bands are not only playing Los Angeles and sweeping down through San Diego, but bands are stopping through Santa Ana to play the Observatory. Have you played that venue before? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. I felt the same thing when we first played it. I was like, "This is a, it's almost strange that we were out here playing this venue." But we played. There's a smaller venue inside called the Constellation Room
Sure.
that we played probably 4 or 5 times. Honestly, like we did a residency there, and then we opened for a couple people there, and then on our last headline run, we played the Observatory, and it was such a good atmosphere. We love the people who work there too, like the promoter who puts it on is like a really, really, really good guy. And he
Sure.
told us early on, he saw us play the small room, and he said, "Hey, you guys, soon." He goes, "Soon, you guys are going to play the big room. I'm going to book that." And we were kind of like, "I don't know about that. That's nice of you. Like, you're a cool guy. Like, that's awesome." And then we did. And it's like, we even gave him a shout out on stage. Like, he's such a nice guy. And so we're playing it again. Yeah. I personally really, really like that thing.
Yeah, man, it's a cool venue. I want to ask you some questions about the record, about the writing and recording, if you don't mind. Some of the cuts on the record actually were off of, some of those previous EPs, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, well, we put out an EP called I'm Sorry, and then we put out a 7-inch before the record with Let It Go, which was made for the album. It wasn't made for the 7-inch, so we always knew that was going to be on the album.
Yeah.
And then A Little Death was on that 7-inch, which was only released on the UK album. We brought over Sweater Weather, Female Robbery, and Let It Go for the album.
Right on, man. And I guess for the other tracks on the record, when you guys came into the studio to c complete the full length or the LP or whatever, how much was, just brought in, you guys were ready to rip into these songs, and how much was it, tweaked in the studio on the fly? And did you link up with any rad producers for it?
We have a producer that we always work with. His name's Justin Pilbrow. He's been there since day one with us. He's a sixth member of the band, really. He helps shape our sound in the studio just as much as any other member in the band. But we also worked with Emile Haney for the album, who we hadn't worked with before, but we all, respect him and admire the stuff that he's done. So that's the second portion of the record when we went in to do like
Oh,
post-production kind of stuff. We went to New
yeah.
York and worked with him. But most of the songs, honestly, were not done, but demoed out before we went into the studio. Like some of the songs, like Afraid, were written back when our EP was written. I'm Sorry. And then so songs definitely changed. Like Afraid didn't have a bridge, in the song before we went into the studio. So like that's kind of how it went. Most of the songs were 90% done, maybe not even that much. And then we went in, re-recorded it, worked with Justin. Worked with our engineer Chris Mullings, who's done everything we've done at 4th Street in Santa Monica, and then we worked with Emil. So the songs definitely changed a little bit, but we always had that vision of what we imagined the songs being from our demos. Because our demos get there pretty good
Yeah,
with the
that's
demos.
cool, man. And for the recording process, is it layering upon layers upon layers of tracks, or you did the Jim James My Morning Jacket thing and kind of looked at all each other in the studio and kind of played it live? I'm not a
It
musician. I don't
depends.
pretend to be one, so I like to ask these type of questions.
Yeah, it depends on the song, really. I mean, we've definitely recorded multiple parts at a time, but the studio that we go into, 4th Street, it's not, you know, it's not the biggest studio in the world. You know, we could, if we wanted to, we could probably be like, no, let's go into, you know, a bigger, newer, more industrial type studio. It's a studio that's, you know, I mean, moderately sized, and you know, it's been around since the 70s, so it has that vibe. You know, I mean, it has a lot of analog equipment.
Yeah.
But we prefer it. That's the vibe of that studio is like the vibe of our band. So a lot of stuff was recorded part by part. Sometimes for space reasons, sometimes for other reasons. But yeah, I mean, we definitely layered things in there. But we took some stuff out too. You know, we had stuff in there, the demos that we were like, almost, you know, the Rick Rubin approach. He's not a producer, he's a reducer. We went in the studio and we saw some things and we're like, this isn't needed. This isn't helping us taking away. Let's take this out of the song, stuff like that.
The Rick Rubin approach. Seems like you're a student of music. Again, Brian from The Neighborhood is on the phone. One of the biggest bands in the alternative world right now. I mean, frankly, that's exactly what you guys are. When you touched on the fact you were studying somewhere in Louisiana and then kind of cut it short to go on tour with the band.
Yeah, I was at Loyola.
Yeah, were you studying music yourself?
School.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was an English major for 3 years, and then my last 2 years I was a music business major because I had actually worked at a publishing company for 2 years, so I was already kind of in that realm. So I was like, I might as well learn a little bit more about it, even though I knew, you know, in my heart of hearts that I wanted to play music for a living. But that, I mean, you know, that school was, you know, maybe one of the best things that ever happened to me because I learned so much there, and it's such a good environment. You know what I mean? It was the perfect environment for somebody like me to be in before this, because I got to leave home and go there and be surrounded by people who, you know, all wanted to do the same thing that I wanted to do and people who really believed in what we were doing.
That's cool, man. Well, your project, certainly a testament to, you know, a band grinding it out in the music world and, again, students of music and finding success right now. Brian from The Neighborhood, few more questions, if you don't mind. And I ask the tough questions here. If you were so fortunate to play the Hollywood Bowl and have Paul McCartney open up for you, what would be in your tour rider?
Oh, geez.
The tough questions.
Probably I'd put on 15, I'd ask for 15 random huge people to slap me in the face.
Yeah, before the show?
Paul McCartney open for me.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what I would put on the rider. Because, I mean, I saw Paul McCartney at the Shea Stadium in New York, at the Mets Stadium with my family.
Right.
Not too long ago. And obviously, you know, I mean, my dad is the biggest Beatles fan I've ever met in my entire life. And obviously, you know, we all love the Beatles, and Paul McCartney's played such a, you know, huge inspiration role on, I think, all of us. You know what I mean? What he's done in his life is insane.
No kidding.
So, I mean, I'd be blessed, though, to get to meet him. You know, I would just feel, I'd legitimately feel weird if he opened.
So did you grow up in a musical family yourself? You just touched on the fact that you know when you were growing up, the Beatles music was all around. What other types of music were you exposed to growing up?
You know, I started there. I mean, in my heart of hearts, you know, my go-to stuff is, you know, Otis Redding, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. That's kind of my bag. That's my shit. That's what I like to listen to.
Cool.
But I mean, we all came from like the punk hardcore scene back home, which I think we've kept that ethos. Like I was saying, you know, everybody in our crew, everybody who we work with together, we make all of our own album art, two of our best friends do our video. We like to keep everything in house. And I think that's something about the punk and hardcore scene that's to be, you know, looked up to. I think that they have a great approach on certain things. On our last tour, The Love Collection, we put out split 7-inches, three different split 7-inches with the band's opening for us, Love Life, the 1975, and Jameson. And that's a very punk hardcore mentality thing to do. And it's like, we design all of our own merch, like we, you know, print all of our own merch and stuff like that. Like we fund it, as of now, at least. And I think that's something that we took away from it. Obviously we've some of us have grown past that music, obviously, cause we don't make it anymore, but there were things about it to be, you know, lessons to be learned from that and things that we've taken from that and brought into the, you know, pop world.
Yeah, huh. One might make the argument that some of that early Motown stuff, some of that early R&B stuff was punk rock. You know what I mean? Borderline. Again, Brian from the neighborhood is on the line on listener-supported radio. We are KX93.5 right here in Laguna Beach. We're a year old here. We got amazing studios right on PCH. I'm looking at the Pacific Ocean as we speak. And to be a music director at a station like this, I feel like this is the station most music directors would want to work for because, you know, my hands are not tied. You know, I get to play a bunch of independent artists. I get to break music left and right, you know, do interviews with the neighborhood on any given afternoon. So it's a blessing to be able to do this next time, you know, you're sweeping through SoCal. Hopefully you guys will make a point to visit our Pearl Street studios here in Laguna. And
that sounds beautiful. PCH is one of my favorite parts about California. So obviously I would love to.
Cool, man. Brian, I got to go spin the hits or whatever, but anything to touch on or what would you like to say to the general public who might not be familiar with the music of the neighborhood thus far?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, our album I Love You is out right now. You can go check that out. Also, we just put out a new music video for our song Afraid that not in a pompous way, but in a legitimate artistic creative way. I think it's one of the best music videos I've ever seen. So anybody who's looking to check us out, I think that song is maybe the best representation of us. If I had to choose one,
yeah.
And the video is, you know, I'm in it, but I don't let that sway my opinion. I think it legitimately is one of the best music videos I've ever seen. So anybody who doesn't know about us, or even if they haven't seen it, to go check it out. And then, our album's out, and we'll have new music out relatively soon, actually. We have a whole new project that's done sitting in my computer right now.